loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
It's that all-born radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Alabama, welcome in. Cube Show, glad you're with us. NBA draft week is upon us, and the news continues to trickle out surrounding the NBA. We'll get to that momentarily. Big show for you today. Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com is with us at 7:40. Apparently, Tennessee is looking at making some serious changes to Neyland Stadium to make the fan experience better. They want to improve that.
Oh, well, then I would suggest upgrading the football team.
They beat Florida there last year.
Beat
Kentucky there last year.
Okay.
Beat Ohio.
All right.
I was at other
okay.
Than the
okay. Simmer down.
We will rank coaches today at 8:20 as if they were recruits. Bill Bender will join us at 8:40 this morning. He'll talk some of college football's most difficult games coming up this season. Booger McFarland's with us at 7:20. We'll talk just random topics with Boog. We don't really like to dial in on anything specific with him.
Not that we don't have anything to talk about today. Oh, man, I know we're going to get to it, but there's some saltiness happening on the old Twitter last night that we'll talk to Boog about as well. But we'll talk about it in a minute.
With him?
I think we should.
No, I was saying someone
him.
No. I was going to say because I missed that.
With Bron.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll get to that NBA stuff here shortly. So you can be a part of the show, 866-485-9867. We'll also have former Auburn defensive back Gerard Powers in studio today. He'll probably spend the last two segments with us, 9:20, 9:40, and we'll skip all the usual late junk that we bring you.
Wait, we're going to hang out with someone who's played in the NFL?
As opposed to giving you TV listings, yes. Maybe we'll just ask Gerard what his...
TV listings are.
Yeah. So, a lot to get to this morning. We'll kick it off with the NBA. And just the news continues to roll out. First off, quickly, Kevin Durant will decline his player option and re-sign with Golden State. He's going to opt out, but he wants to re-sign. So, this is when we begin to get into all the confusing technical contract jargon with possible potential free agents in the NBA. I feel like the NBA's verbiage around how they handle players is more confusing than any other sport. Now, when it comes to drafting guys and the different types of draft, Major League Baseball by far the most confusing. Because
Like
we're talking to Laura Rutledge, and her husband's been in the league for 5 years, and apparently some off-season draft got him that they didn't even know was there. But when you got sign and trade, player options, decline player options, free agents, hometown bargains, I mean, it's just never, seems never ending with the NBA.
If there's
anybody, you can get creative, I guess.
If there's anybody that tells you they understand all of this, they're lying. Even if you're an NBA general manager, you're lying. You don't understand all of this. You can't. There's too many ins and outs, and the NBA Players Association constantly changes things every single year. The union's like, hey, let's. How about this? The NBA's like, how about we try to keep some of these super teams from happening? And then now got guys like Kevin Durant who will say, I'll take less money. You're like, what? No, that's not what
amazing.
We're... Hold on. We're trying not to get this.
Is this maybe right now, is this still possibly the intoxication of a championship from Kevin Durant? making this move right now, this decision right now?
A little bit, but I think he sees what's on the horizon. I mean, Steph Curry is going to get a bunch of money this offseason.
Deservingly so.
Sure, absolutely. Andre Iguodala is set to be, he'll be all right for the next, I think he's coming up on a new contract because he was, I mean, I think he was picked up when everybody was screaming about Dwight Howard, and that turned out to be pretty well. Won the finals MVP a couple of years ago. I think Klay Thompson, I think it's another year before he starts getting major paid, and Kevin Durant's already got a buku of cash, so he's just going to say, I'll take a little. Now, we're not talking about going from $35 million to $17 million. You know, he's talking about taking like, I think it's like $4 to $6 million, maybe it's $8 million less, which, by the way, what a great position to be in. But apparently Kevin Durant just wants to just win championships forever.
Yeah, and who can blame him?
I don't know.
Did you guys want to win championships
at Auburn?
We won two Western Division titles.
But, I mean, did you want to win more? Like, did you want to win?
And I was playing in divisions that didn't even border. We didn't even play the teams in the states that we bordered.
What?
Yeah. It was wild.
That was weird.
Not even what's on the horizon for his team, but maybe what's on the horizon for other teams is one reason that you would think Kevin Durant probably so confident in making this move. So now, in the other side of the NBA, David Griffin apparently is leaving the Cavs. The general managers said yesterday, quote, just could not agree on future. I don't believe they're speaking of the rapper. Future.
But say, listen, you don't have to like the same music.
Yeah.
One could be good. One could be good to you. One could be bad the other way.
So, the Cavs have always been an intriguing team because I think a lot of people just truly believe that LeBron's calling most of the shots anyway. At least when it comes to head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from a personnel perspective, most people believe he's calling the shots also. So, why do you even need multiple GMs in there? But it doesn't seem as though there are many guys that we've heard of or have deep-rooted NBA ties as to, boy, that guy's made some good decisions at A, B, and C, or he built a championship here or there. And maybe it's always going to be difficult for the Cleveland Cavaliers because LeBron has to have sort of that say in what happens. And you listen, I'm not mad at Dan Gilbert or anybody else involved for letting that happen. It's LeBron James. You kind of play by his rules, so to speak. So, it's LeBron throws out a cryptic tweet. We'll get to that in 10 after tweets momentarily about the situation. But it seems as though it's bad enough that Cleveland went down the way that they did in the finals. It just doesn't seem like a great offseason for the Cavs so far.
With LeBron shaving his head and giving me mugs and sending out weird videos on Instagram, and then you have this, it's definitely the downfall of the Cavs. It's weird because all David Griffin did was give LeBron James everything he ever wanted. He gave him everything he could pay. They're paying the most in luxury tax. They're paying the most above the salary cap. They are getting – all he's doing is everything that Dan Gilbert would want. And one of those – it was three straight NBA Finals appearances in his 3 years. And, oh, by the way, one title that you had never won before. What more do you want from a guy? And he couldn't agree on the future? And by the way, his contract wasn't up until next week. The draft's this Thursday, and I don't know why you couldn't give him maybe another year extension and say, hey, listen, let's figure these things out. It's so bad to have this happen right before the draft because this is when you're wheeling and dealing and working on the trades and you're trying to figure out if you can get Jimmy Butler or Paul George or anybody. If somehow you can figure out how to get Carmelo Anthony on your team or Blake Griffin if he becomes available.
Some of this just feels so desperate. Just so desperate as to, we got to go out and just add someone. This is a little frustrating to me with the NBA is there is no building, there is no drafting, there is no team chemistry. It's just who can stockpile the most stars.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe this has to be a bit of a concern for Adam Silver moving forward because there is no building of a franchise anymore. There's no building of a team. It's just who is best friends with who and can force their stars to take less and build and just stockpile celebrities on their team. That's what the NBA is becoming, it feels like.
Yeah, and if you want to be fair to one of the teams, you should be fair to the defending champs now, because they did it through the draft, mainly drafting Draymond and Steph and getting Klay, and you know, their big free agent acquisition happened to be Kevin Durant, which put them completely over the top. With Cleveland, you're right. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Wait for another once in a generation type player to come up and then draft him? Like, do you need to start tanking? Because if you don't have some kind of semblance of, and I know everyone thinks that LeBron James is the one that is making all the moves, but David Griffin's got to do all the paperwork. And he's also got to figure out a way to maneuver this stuff. He's got to be able to figure out a way to get an Andrew Bogut onto your roster, even though he played less than a full minute in his Cleveland Cavaliers debut. He's got to figure out a way to get these guys on the team. And Dan Gilbert's got to pay the check. And I wonder if Dan Gilbert's like, look, we got a title. I still like winning, but we can't just keep paying for guys this much for this long. And maybe he's got something in the writing and maybe knows that no matter what we really do here, LeBron's not going to be here past next year. So I don't know why we want to keep spending so much money.
Do you believe that?
I mean, there's a lot of reports saying he wants to go to Los Angeles and play with the Lakers and be interested in playing with the Lakers, depending on how they look. You know, if they end up getting like
hit the reset button again and just start a whole another new team. I mean, I'm getting a little frustrated with it, to be honest with you.
Well, that's why they try to do.
You mentioned sort of how the chips are being stacked by Golden State against everyone else. I mean, Durant is turning down a salary of $28 million to hit free agency and going to take less. Now, his intentions of taking less than the max he's eligible for at a 10-year veteran. You brought it up a little bit earlier. This is not just to sign Steph Curry, but this is mainly to be able to sign Andre Iguodala, who didn't really show up until Game 5, it felt like, in the NBA Finals. He didn't seem like a cornerstone of that championship team.
No, but I mean, 2 years ago, he was the Finals MVP. So, I mean, he's a guy that's been crucial to your success. And you know, this offseason, the NBA is about to get another giant influx of money to where these salaries are just going to look ridiculous. I mean, LeBron, if he wants, is going to be able to command over $40 million a year when he's able to opt out next year. So to set up the NBA like this, and that's why Adam Silver and crew are trying to discourage the super teams, because the super teams, that's why you get these contracts. Like if you've been with a team that drafted you for, I think it's 6 or 8 years, and you can opt in to stay with them, and you can sign for like $40 to $60 million if you made first, second, or third team. NBA make $40 to $60 million to stay there. That's what Gordon Hayward was looking at, and that's what guys like Russell Westbrook will be looking at next offseason, is whether he wants to stay on to make, you know, between $40 and $50 million more dollars with Oklahoma City. And it's just, they want to discourage it, but then I know it's frustrating for you, and it's frustrating for me as a Knicks fan, but it's frustrating for you cause an NBA fan. But then you look at the NBA Finals ratings,
oh, they're
and
huge.
People wanted to see the super teams.
Absolutely.
Like, we want to see, you know, Captain America versus Iron Man. We want to see the two sets of names everybody knows. You know, we didn't want to, I mean, God bless Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart and all, but, I mean, they weren't interested in that. You know, and even though it was a fairly romp in the NBA Finals, the ratings didn't really decrease. It didn't go from like 19 million one night to 12 million in Game 5 or Game 4 or even Game 3. Like, there were still 20 million people watching every single night. And you're thinking, are you not seeing the same thing I'm seeing?
Yeah.
But they love the star power, and that's what the NBA's always been about, or at least since it's gotten up to its popularity.
All right, let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
So speaking of some of these NBA moves last night, Howard Beck tweets 10 hours ago, source, LeBron is, quote, disappointed at Griffin's departure, as well as the timing, and, quote, concerned about what this portends for Cavs going forward. Zach Lowe tweets at @Zach_Lowe_NBA. Cavs will now go back to previous plan of winning the lottery multiple times and having generational NBA stars born nearby. It worked.
Sure, it worked eventually. I mean, LeBron had to leave and then come back, but he did come the first time once drafted and get them to an NBA Finals.
I'm going to glue. You guys get the first pick, make it count, and I'll be back.
You're going to give me 4 years. I have to sign for like a 2 years with two options.
Adrian Wojnarowski tweets, sources, as David Griffin departs as Cavs, quote, just could not agree on future. Source says Chauncey Billups expected to emerge as candidate. We are in an age of broadcasters moving into front office jobs like never before.
And you can, like, clearly they like...
John Lynch is running the 49ers. Chauncey Billups is about to be running the Cavs.
You can like Chauncey Billups all you want, and clearly Cleveland does. And maybe he becomes more of a president of basketball operations, I read, that will make the GM higher, and maybe he becomes the GM higher. You can like him all you want, but let's not act like these things... I mean, Chauncey Billups was on the court, like, felt like 2 years ago. Like, we shouldn't be that willing to crush former players into these roles so quickly. I don't know anything about Chauncey Billups to be able to say he could take over the GM spot. But I sit there and I see what happened with Derek Fisher with the Knicks, and I'm like, maybe you shouldn't just bring guys who are pretty fresh off the old basketball court and say, do something else that's not analyst work. But I mean, if you're going to be a GM, why not have your first job be one of the two teams that were playing in the NBA Finals and the defending Eastern Conference champions?
Definitely can't be mad at Chauncey for this.
Oh man,
if they give it to him, then hell, roll with it. Good for you. Reddit College Football tweets: Kentucky self-reports violations stemming from free tickets given to Last Chance U star Brittany Wagner. Uh oh.
Are you worried?
No, I think they're going to be all right.
Okay, good.
We mentioned yesterday Eric Decker signed that one-year deal with the Titans. Covers, at Covers, tweets, wide receiver Eric Decker on a one-year deal with the Titans. Titans 40-1 to win Super Bowl 52, 20-1 to win the AFC, 2-1 to win the AFC South. I haven't seen the other odds, but it sounds like that would make them the favorites to win the AFC South. Regular season win total 8.5.
Didn't Houston win it last year at 9-7?
Yes,
I think they won it. So that's, I mean, right around what's trying to win this division the last few years. Man, that big question mark seems to me to be what Andrew Luck can do, because Andrew Luck, I mean, obviously we can blame his offensive line for getting him hurt and getting him beat up a lot, but if you look for some of his numbers, it's like his touchdown interception ratio since he's been in the league. It's not great.
No, it's not elite.
Not elite.
Dr. Saturday at Yahoo. Dr. Saturday tweets, Florida Atlantic suspends 2016 leading receiver Caleb Woods after he's arrested on two felony battery charges. Arky, per an alleged victim, Woods was allegedly mad about a foul in a pickup game over a year prior.
Well, it's nice to see priorities have been set.
I thought I held grudges.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, you do. But I don't know if that would be this.
Wow.
Like, if I had beaten you in the golf a couple years ago, I don't think you would have still been this mad.
I don't think I would have assaulted you twice either. I mean, did they?
You're probably right.
Did the pickup game force him to, like, rip an Achilles or a patella tendon?
Like, that was his first day back from being, like, rehabbed?
I could understand it then, I guess, but wow.
Hey, this tweet comes from Stephen T. Schmidt, Schmidt, a little different pronunciation. Cole, I know you love these, and that's why I bring this up. He is, he's the director of player personnel I guess he loves Auburn football, for Auburn football. From Broward County, born and raised. That's his Twitter profile. Anywho,
On the playgrounds is where I spend most of my days.
Chilling out, Max. Okay, so he was Auburn had a Tiger night over the weekend.
It's every night, Arky.
Okay, for you, yes, it's Auburn Radio. But they had a Tiger night over the weekend for, I'm assuming, recruits, not just for fun friends who are hanging out. And they spelled two great things about this. They spelled T-I-G-E-R with T, the number one, the number nine, E-R. Yeah, that's kind of silly. And then their hashtag for the 2019 recruiting class.
Oh, boy.
There's going to be a recruiting class. Hashtag Mall19.
Maul them.
M-A-U-L, not like the shopping mall.
Your Parkway Place or?
the former Madison Square? Nope. So, Cole, I know how much you hate him. Do you hate this as much as you hate the others brick by brick?
Yeah, no, I don't like any of them.
What's worse?
I understand that they are necessary, but that doesn't make me – I don't have to like them.
Okay,
commit to the G, Extreme Team 2017.
This is a real question.
And built by Bama.
And I want you to think about this hard because these are two hashtags that are very much used by these two schools – and very much kind of mean the same thing. Which is worse, hashtag brick by brick or hashtag built by Bama? Now, just consider the hashtags themselves. Don't talk about the team's success. Just the hat, because they basically mean the same thing. You're building one place and you're building at another.
Oh, no. One is completely taking credit for one's athletic ability.
And that's built by Bama?
Yes.
So is that worse?
Yeah.
So is that a lot worse?
Bama didn't build Julio Jones.
Hold on, they helped.
He was an athletic freak when he got there. And no. Bama didn't build Jonathan Allen. He was a ridiculously talented defensive lineman when he arrived. Bama didn't build Derrick Henry. Remember the picture of Derrick Henry as a true freshman? Like his first day in pads, standing next to whoever the other running back was.
Yes.
I was like, he's 7 feet taller. It's the Jolly Green Giant of running backs.
But he was 4'6" when he got on campus.
No, that was his first day in pads.
So built by Bama.
It wasn't built there.
I kind of agree with you. Built by Bama is kind of taking credit for like some of these.
Kind of slapping the face to mom and dad.
They get these freaks to show up on campus. And I mean freaks in the nicest sense because they could kick my butt.
Like DJ Fluker, they built that?
I mean, you know, it got a little bigger.
Okay.
Like, it seems like you are, like, the reason that they are a number one draft pick is because they went to Alabama. And Alabama's a place where they get a lot of these, but, like, if Julio Jones had gone to, I don't know, let's say Florida State.
Maybe higher.
Oh, what?
Because he gets more targets.
Okay. Okay, so if Jonathan Allen perhaps may have gone to Ohio State.
Can you imagine Julio Jones at Texas Tech?
Okay, 65,000 yards for his career.
Just saying.
Maybe he'd have some all-time records. He could also... but I'll tell you this, he's got a brick on campus. That's really all that matters.
So I think it's more than a brick. He's got like the whole concrete pad.
Does brick by brick, does it annoy you? Do you hate it? Because it kind of just means like it's almost like saying one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. It seems very elementary.
Which does degrade it. It's like one foot in front of the other, day by day. At the end of the day, it is what it is. Brick by brick, we build this thing.
If you're a player, you kind of have to ask yourself, is our house ever going to be built?
How many bricks do we get?
We just going to keep, is this like the Great Wall of Tennessee? And we just keep building it?
Keep building. Peek right around Neyland Stadium.
All right, we'll get to a break back with the early morning audible next.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Cole Kublik. Big old night on the diamond that did not end without controversy, as that happened in the Chicago Cubs game. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, Cole Kublik, what are the Atlanta Braves doing?
Cueto, with a collection of deliveries, pauses and comes to the plate. And it's hit high and deep to right field. A bullet that is headed for the chop house. souvenir time with a little foam on top. Adams with another homer. That's 11. Another RBI. That's 33. And the Braves with a 2-0 lead.
And you heard that, in a beer or something?
Yeah, I think the tweet's referencing. That happened in the fourth inning. That was Matt Adams' 11th home run of the season, as you heard him reference in the fourth. Give the Braves a 2-0 lead. But they weren't done, Cole. Danny Santana on the pinch hit effort in the eighth.
Driven a mile to right to the top of the chop house. It's gone. 3-run bomb for Danny Santana. It's 9-0.
And that's how it'll finish, as you will hear the call in just a moment. Braves win 9-0 thanks to R.A. Dickey going 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, obviously none earned, six strikeouts to just 1 walk. He has won 3 of his last 4 starts, and now 5-5, baby!
Popped up. This will do it. Backpedaling into the outfield grass is Dansby Swanson for the 27th out. And the Braves, after a tight game all the way to the bottom of the eighth inning, end up routing the Giants. The final score of Game 1, Braves 9, Giants nothing.
That's 3 in a row for the Atlanta baseball. Braves are down just 9.5 back of the Nationals for first place in the division. And you would think this team doesn't seem like they're playing that well. They're playing okay baseball. Right now, they are playing really good. We'll talk to Kevin McAlpin more about them tomorrow. Hey, a quick side note, the Dodgers are really good.
Now a 3-2 on a high fly ball to right center field. Has Cody Bellinger done it again? Of course he has. This season right now is one big party.
Yeah, that's our good friend Joe Davis.
Like the Steve Aoki, they start jamming in the background there.
This season right now is one big party.
Sounds like it in the background there.
That game was 10-6 over the Mets. Even though Kershaw ended up giving up 6 earned runs, he won his 10th game last night. Now 10-2, 10 strikeouts, though. His ERA is up to 2.61 ERA, and they have not lost a game when Kershaw starts since May the 1st. How about them Los Angeles Dodgers? Hey, another big news. Controversy in Chicago as the Padres were taking on the Cubs when Austin Hedges was awaiting a relay throw to try to get out Anthony Rizzo, and Anthony Rizzo ran straight into him. Now, some controversy because it thought Anthony Rizzo may have gone out of his way to hit Austin Hedges, who had to limp out of the game with a thigh bruise. Here's Anthony Rizzo.
KB hits a low liner. I take a peek. I see the ball's right on line. And one of those plays where I know it's very, very sensitive when there's a collision at the plate. And by all means, I really hope Hedges is all right. But it's a play where, you know, I'm out by 2 steps. You know, I slide. He runs into me. So it's just one of those plays where it's unfortunate he exited.
Yeah, it did not seem like Anthony Rizzo went out of his way. Now, the rule is that the base runner cannot leave his normal base path and go out of his way to try to run into the catcher to dislodge the ball. The rule that happened a couple years ago to try to protect some of these catchers. It did not look like that, but that's not what the other team, the San Diego Padres, thought. And Joe Maddon had some thoughts on whether or not did Anthony Rizzo do the right thing.
If the guy's in the way, you're still able to hit him. I think we've just retrained the mind so much right there that they look to miss him. I'd much prefer what Riz did tonight, and what he did was right, absolutely right. So there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody could tell me differently. It's a good play. If the catcher's in the way, you don't try to avoid him in an effort to score and hurt yourself. You hit him just like Riz did.
And it's kind of just sort of where the throw came and the angle that Austin Hedges was at, and Anthony Rizzo wasn't sliding softly, so that's obviously one reason that I think some people are mad. There's a little more physical than maybe he should have been, and the slide was a little harder than maybe they were expecting for a mid-June game. Regardless, the Yankees, by the way, now moving on. The Yankees have lost 6 in a row, and luckily they were off last night. But now they're in first place because of this.
There it is, and he swings, and it's in the air to left deep. Back goes Gordon, back toward the wall, and he reaches up and makes the catch up against the left center field wall, and the ball game is over. It would not have gone out, but Gordon, who trailed it, made an outstanding over-the-shoulder catch.
And that's how the Red Sox lost last night. Yeah! 4-2. That's the final of that game, as Boston now a half game back of the Yankees, and maybe the Yankees get back on track tonight, or maybe not. Six in a row is not a really fun losing streak to sit through. By the way, I played the Cody Bellinger call earlier.
On a high fly ball to right center field. Has Cody Bellinger done it again? Of course he has.
That's two home runs to that game for him for the Dodgers. The Dodgers rookie now has 20 home runs. That's right on the heels of Aaron Judge as well.
Wow.
And coming up at 7, the early morning audible involves a little bit of NBA talk, as the Vertical's Adrian Wojnarowski says, now the Cavs aren't just talking about trying to get Paul George. There's another name that's entered the fray.
There's another one?
Another one.
Well, we'll get to that right after our next break right here on Cube Show.
WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.
I was going to say, you can hear some of this music on Tom Abraham's show today, because today is...
Is that really going to happen?
Today is his Freaky Friday switch day, where he's going to switch switch bumper music.
It's not Friday.
Well, I know. But I've been referencing the movie. He's going to have to switch bumper music from the good old country stuff he likes to a little bit of rap for today in his bumper music. So be listening out for that today. That'll be awesome. I'm sure he'll react very well to getting like some Akon and Young Jeezy.
Oh, wow. I'm excited about that. I kind of want to just come hang out up here and watch him do the show in studios to hear some of the things he says about it.
Oh, you can. I mean, there's we have chairs here.
There's going to be some complaining today.
He's also probably going to try to give you the mic to talk, so if you don't want to talk, that may not be a good thing.
Oh, the good news is there won't be an extra one for that to happen.
Ha ha! Cole! You play dirty.
No, I'll say no. Antonio's going to have his over there. Sorry. There's not one.
You play dirty, Cole.
Every morning we like to let you know who's healthy, who's hurt, who's bouncing back. We get physical. Marky, we talked last week about how Michael Phelps is allegedly going to race a shark somehow, a great white.
Yeah, I'll
believe that when I see it.
That seems normal. That's like when Kobayashi like try to out-eat a bear. Hot dogs. It didn't work out well. Man, Fox did some weird stuff back in the day.
They did. Phelps, in a recent interview, revealed that mythical 12,000-calorie-a-day diet that he was on in the Olympics was not quite a real thing.
Oh, what?
He said, don't believe everything you read. The stories were just ridiculous. I was probably eating anywhere between, like, I don't know, 8 or 10,000, probably at my peak where I was really growing. Still, it became a jab. He said, I did a little searching and found a breakdown of what cyclists ingest, and it was around 8,000 calories a day. It included that many calories looked like in a hypothetical diet. He said he would eat 22 eggs for breakfast, 3 cereal bars, 14 20-ounce bottles of sports drinks, so like Gatorade, 4 cups of rice, 2 cups granola with fruit, 8 chicken breasts, and 4 bananas. That's how much you'd have to eat to get to 8,000. That's not getting to 10 or 12.
I can't get past the 22 eggs.
It's a lot.
That's not the way to wake up, man.
No. Mm-mm. But you think about it, if you're doing distance, biking, swimming, running, something like that, you're burning a ton of calories, man. Especially swimming. Wow, that's a lot. You're burning a lot of calories. Swimming is hard.
Ugh.
Swimming is really hard.
Well, I was in the pool over the weekend. I wasn't exactly swimming, but it
yeah, not
okay.
Standing in the shallow end. Actually, swimming is hard.
I got on my knees at one point.
No, I'm sure you did.
Cole, let me take you to Chicago, Illinois, where there is a brand new married couple that we get to talk about today. That's right, because we have a new couple. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to congratulate Ryan and Marie for getting married on June 17th. Because Ryan said this was a no-brainer on this next decision we're about to tell you about. He told ABC News that there was no doubt he was going to take his wife's last name. Now, it's not extremely common, but it's not uncommon for a guy to take his wife's last name. But you'll like the reason better. You see, Ryan is
it's not uncommon. It's borderline unheard of.
Well, I mean, it happens.
If you watch The Crown, it happens there, but that's a little bit of a different reason.
You're trying to get the throne. It happens more and more nowadays, but it's not entirely common. I would agree with you with that. Cole, that's because he found his sweetheart named Marie, and Marie Packer is now happy to have her husband Ryan. The reason it's such a big deal that he's taking her name, because it is Packer, and he is a huge Green Bay fan.
Okay.
So big that he did say, quote, "It's a no-brainer that I'm going to take my wife's name." He's going to be Ryan Packer now. And his wife even surprised the 41-year-old with a Packer-themed wedding suit. His wedding suit had the Green Bay Packers logo everywhere.
I bet this guy was rooting for Ricky Fowler this weekend.
Oh, you bet he knew. You bet you know that's right. Apparently, they first made headlines. They were going to announce to be taking a football-themed wedding, and it turns out that it went even more one step over. The man says, "I grew up in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, where the Packers are the unofficial state religion," he said. Everyone from grandmothers to little kids are diehard fans.
Yeah, that and making a murder. That's all I got.
That's a good point. And we live and die with a team. Well, clearly now you will die with Packer as
same
the last
as
name.
Making a murder. They live and die with him.
I'm going to show you, Cole, the Green Bay Packers suit.
Oh, come on.
There's no way you'd wear a team-themed suit, would you? Because all this is basically just like...
I'm trying to think what it would cost me to wear that for a day. Like, all day. Especially this time of year. And this is one of those... one of those ghetto Michael Irvin suits where everything is the same material. So, like, the tie is made out of the same material as the suit, which is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic.
It's got the Packers, Packers written in their Packers font all over it. So, congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Packer.
Is the team going to do anything for this guy?
Nothing has been announced, but I assume...
The Packers
something.
Don't take me as like a real gimmick team like this. Like, oh, you took your wife's maiden name, now you're the Packer couple, we'll give you seats.
There are many, 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 many photos of them together at Green Bay games, so I'm sure maybe they'll get like an Aaron Rodgers ball or something.
Stop. Don't give them anything. It's ridiculous. What's your take on themed weddings like this?
I don't have a huge problem with like a football themed wedding or something like that. If you really care about it, that
I remember
much.
When we were planning our wedding and the wedding planner, she was like, "Do you want an Auburn groom's cake?
Ah,
do
yes!
you want like an Auburn pom poms?" I'm like, "No, lady. Guess when the last time I played at Auburn was 2000.
Did they not do cakes back then? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't need that.
We're not
having a themed anything like that.
My former roommate
now. If my daughter wants like a unicorn-themed birthday party at 3 or 4, sure, we'll go for that. But these themed weddings,
no,
I just don't.
Not for any of them.
A wedding is supposed to be like a big step into adulthood, not back to being an adolescent.
Well, listen, he's only 41, so he's got plenty
he
of time.
He looks like it in the picture.
He's got
he
plenty
looks
of
like
time
a clown in the photograph.
To grow up. My roommate from college, when he got married, had a Atlanta Braves groom's cake. He had a big baseball, a cake in the shape of a baseball with the Alabama. They looked similar. Not the same, I understand, but with the Atlanta Braves A on the ball, and I thought that was kind of nerdy. But I don't have a huge problem with it.
Kind of nerdy?
Okay, it's a lot nerdy.
It's really nerdy.
Like, because Kelly asked me Mrs. Arkey asked me if I wanted a groom's cake. I'm like, I don't even want a groom's cake. It's not
I didn't
a big
have
deal.
One. I didn't have one either because I'm not a big fan of chocolate cake.
Yeah, I'm not. Are they supposed to be chocolate too? Is that a thing?
I think that's like sort of the deal. It doesn't have to be, but most of them are.
See, I don't even. I'm not
like,
a big...
I want that cake over there. The wedding cake. I don't want the
big
other
one.
Cake.
The big one. That's the one we actually paid a lot of money for.
Well, no, but that's the like the flavor that I would have wanted also.
Oh, what was the flavor?
Well, it was vanilla cake with vanilla frosting, white frosting, but it had like this like little raspberry trim in it.
Oh, man, it had like ridiculous. A little bit of a like filler in there. Like
yeah.
Raspberry.
It was really good.
Yeah, Kelly likes to do that. I don't like cake that much, so that's the thing. Like I said, I'll take a pie if you wanted to give me like a groom pie, but it doesn't really need it.
What, like shepherd's?
that would be a little gross for a wedding. You know, just like a blueberry pie for the wedding, you know, something like that.
Blueberry pie for the wedding.
That'll work out.
All right. Well,
lemon meringue works. You know, lemon, I mean, I say lemon. Key lime pie works. Pecan pie works.
Okay.
Pumpkin pie would have worked. I can name 1,000 pies before I name one cake I like.
All right, coming up next hour, Booger McFarland of the SEC Network is with us, and Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. Back with more Cube Show next.